Hey folks, Sir Richard Wentworth. When you're ready to buy a car, TrueCar is changing car buying forever. Yes, TrueCar helps buyers get rid of the fear that they might overpay. Every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings, and TrueCar users save an average of $3,221 off MSRP. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow these three easy steps. First, download the TrueCar mobile app or go to TrueCar.com to find out what others paid for the car you want. Then, register to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step is simple. Take your guaranteed savings certificate to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. With TrueCar, you can save time, save money, and never overpay. To see how much you can save on the car you want, simply download the TrueCar mobile app or visit TrueCar.com today.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV after show for Justified Season 6, Episode 3. No, that's your blame. There it is.
How's it going to be hardware store?
Noblesse oblige. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Berg.
Hey, everybody. You can tweet me at Tamara Berg.
Thank you very much. And Steve Bottomley.
You can tweet me at Because I Died.
That's not even close.
It's not even close.
All right, I wanted to start off right about, because I did not see the Avery thing coming in. I assumed that Avery would be behind Ty. But what was surprising to me was the whole Catherine double cross there. I really didn't see that coming. And a lot of times, especially in this particular show, meaning Justified, a lot of shows, you can see it, things coming ahead. But on Justified, I try not to anyway because I really love these writers. I trust these writers. I know they're going to give me a great story. So I'm rarely ever ahead, and I'm not trying to be. I like the way they unroll their stories.
Yes.
So I didn't see this one coming. Did you guys expect that this would be the double cross for Catherine?
I certainly didn't. I bought it when they were in bed together.
I know. It was a great scene last week.
I mean, it looked like they were, you know, going to be the new power
reminisce,
couple,
exactly.
Right?
That's what I thought, too.
Steve?
Right. No, obviously, Wynn and Catherine have a long game
mm-hmm.
we are not privy to, and mm-hmm. I have yet to figure out.
He had worked with her husband as well and stuff like that. But you would think if Wynn did, you know, why, you know, Avery did too. It was just a whole weird thing. They have mm-hmm. a long history with Catherine and Avery. It was just, it's great, but I was just surprised by it.
And I like how Boyd presented it. Like, how do you see this
yeah, exactly.
thing playing out? You
know what we're dealing with. How's this playing out in your mind?
Yes.
Yeah, that was nice.
No, I didn't catch that one.
And I thought it was a great out-of-the-blue twist and sets up a whole new thing for the season for me. Because you know at some point, Avery, if he hasn't figured it out already, he will.
Yeah.
So we'll get all that stuff coming in, and then he'll get those two guys playing, meaning Catherine and Avery playing against each other.
Well, it was so great how they set it up, because they have Avery and Ava
mm-hmm.
and that whole meeting before
Boyd comes in.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
So he's basically, they have Avery explaining who Catherine is mm-hmm. and that. And basically telling Ava, mm-hmm. are you up to that? Are you
yeah.
up to
oh,
that?
Oh, man.
So they completely remind you of who Catherine is.
Right.
And then Boyd goes up against Catherine.
Yeah.
And she's just like, you were always the man of my dreams.
Not only that, but I thought it was also really great that because this was another good episode where Ava is really stuck in the middle, and mm-hmm. they're letting us know what she's being squeezed like crazy. And here she is, you know, if you don't go the route of Catherine, you are just the token. Mm-hmm. And do you have the stones to do that or
right.
not? So...
Well, and, you know, there's been a lot of conversation between us as well as out in the world right. about how last season Ava was really confined to prison. And right. so it was a, you know, it was difficult for us to not see the story of her progressing, mm-hmm. Even though she got to do great acting work.
Right.
But then in this season, we've got so much more subtext and yeah. so much more underneath going on with her. And I'd say with a lot of the other characters, too, because yeah. there's so much that they are not telling us right
and,
now.
And also we know much more of their history, so they don't have to say as much because we know this stuff.
I yes.
mean, the way that Ava is with Raylan is completely different than the way she was with Boyd, and the way she plays those things. And they don't really have to say much because you know what they're saying.
Right. Right. But, and Joelle Carter was talking in an interview about how Raylan was the one that got away for her. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
And,
yeah.
and then she also talked about how, I'm kind of getting in a little bit into Ava, and I know we'll talk about her later, but that, you know, there's the question of, is she really in love with Boyd or not?
Right.
And
we talked about that, I think, in the first podcast,
yes,
the first episode.
Yeah. Yes, because she was obviously so conflicted. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she said was, I think that Boyd came along at a moment when Ava was available, both emotionally as well as,
right. yes,
you know,
saying,
literally,
yeah.
relationship-wise.
Yeah.
And so the time for them to fall in love, you know, the circumstances
was,
worked
yeah.
out. Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
So it's,
and she was,
well,
she was jilted.
Do you think that went away when she was in prison in last season?
No, the love for Boyd?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we talked about that too. I do to some degree. She wasn't in love with that anymore, but you know, let's face it, these two, especially Ava and Boyd, they are outcasts in some degree. They both wanted out in some way. I mean, you know, Boyd, you know, he took a tour. He thought he was going to find some sort of purpose for his life, being in the armory or whatever it mm-hmm. was. And when he came back, he decided, no, I'm going to make it here.
Right.
And she wanted out by marrying the Bowman.
Right.
And that
right.
didn't work out so well. So they're both stuck. They both kind of want something else.
Yeah, but they both have serious timing issues because every time one of them wants to go,
that's true.
Like, no,
I know.
They,
yeah,
I'm
they even,
good here.
They even
then,
argued about it.
Okay,
this
let's
time
go.
Too.
No,
wants to
no,
go to
that's
Iceland.
Yeah.
But isn't timing everything anyway?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think they're kindred spirits in the sense that they have a longing for something else, and so that's and they don't. They, let's face it, they don't have any more family. They only really have each other. The boy
right.
has no more family.
Right.
And she doesn't have any family to speak of either. So
well, she killed them all.
Well, that's true. So, and because she doesn't have the Raylan is the man that got away. That you know, and I don't mean this in a it sound horrible, but yeah, he is what's left, and he's what she's settling for in a sense.
Boyd is, or
yeah, uh-huh. because you know, I think she really felt like she could have punched her ticket with Raylan. I think that really would have gotten her away
yes.
out of Harlan.
Right. She'd be living in Miami with a baby.
Yeah, exactly,
now.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, that's the tragedy of that too is that she is stuck there. But all right, so we'll get into Ava some more. But let's go back to the whole Catherine story because if anything, if Ava is aware of any of it, she can wonder, well, if I go down this road, Catherine is basically who I will become.
Right.
So I don't know how much she knows of Catherine. I'm sure she knows some stories. I don't ever remember them meeting. Did you? I don't think they've ever met
no,
in the series.
Not that we've seen.
But she's got to be aware of the stories and stuff like that. But I think that, speaking to what Steve said earlier about this scene with Avery and Ava, that to me is Catherine, and that's what she's headed for. So the idea that Catherine has no honor among thieves, she's sleeping with them, and the whole reason why that's happening is not just reminiscent. She's just doing it to figure out his next move so they can be ahead of him and take all his money.
Avery says it.
Yeah.
You have to be able to do the things that the men aren't going to do.
Exactly.
Are you harder and stronger than your man?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Catherine is.
Yeah.
And they've always positioned her that
right.
way.
And she survived her husband for a good reason.
Which is why it's so great that Murray Steenberg is playing her because
oh,
she's
yeah.
so pleasant. She's everyone's mom.
Oh,
I see
yeah.
her and I just keep thinking Parenthood.
Well,
and, you know,
that's what you're thinking.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking that right now, but I understand that, yeah.
You know?
So I just go, whoa.
Yeah.
I don't think she's always going to be that way. No. I think that her hands are going to get a little dirty.
Man,
I
can't wait until she gets her hands dirty. Mm-hmm. I want to see the beast come out.
And I also love the way they played the little scene at the end when Boyd goes in to confront them, and she's all nice. Now I'm going to, let me get you something to drink. Where last week she's, no, I'm not getting you anything.
Right.
So I thought that was fun little, you know, turnaround that they were doing here.
Yeah.
And the little glances back and forth between her and Duffy. And there's a reason they're still hanging here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's not forget, last week Duffy said, look, you got to know how, I know how to play this guy. I know how to play the hillbilly, I think is what he calls him.
Yeah.
And the way he came at Boyd there at the end saying, oh, so you're giving up? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah.
I think that was what we were hinting at last week, is that he knows how to play Boyd.
Yeah.
At least he thinks he does. I don't know that he actually is totally successful at it.
Yeah. So, and in that scene, I'm trying to figure out where Boyd was more angry, that he felt like he was set up, or that he feels like he has to take care of business again, you know, with the whole line, I'm going to put a bullet in his brain, know, you know, I'm thinking he can't be that angry about being, quote, set up, because, like you said, honor among thieves. You don't trust anybody in this thing. So I don't know if he's just, like, finally, because of who he's up against.
And the way they've been hinting at who Catherine is, you know, I'm wondering, you know, when she first knew Boyd or met Boyd or heard of Boyd, you know, she knew about his expertise at the bank robbing thing and stuff like that. I'm wondering how long she'd been trying to put this together, you know what I mean? Because if you know of somebody like a Boyd, and you know, you keep that in your back pocket just so that, oh, hey, well, he's coming to town. How can I use that great asset I have? You know, I'm just wondering, that's how good she is that she knows when to play the card when she needs to. And Boyd's a good card to have in your pocket.
Yeah.
Well, they remind you often about, you know, who she is and how nasty she can be. So
We'll see. I'm curious. Does anybody have – I mean, because we all are hearing who Catherine is. We really got to see who Avery is. Of course, we heard last week when he was talking about, oh, you can take both his eyes out, and that's a good start. So, but the way he presented himself, I mean, that was really – I mean, we thought, you know, Ty was really weird with the eggs and all that other stuff.
Right.
But here, you know, Avery is sitting at the dining table where Bowman was shot a few seasons ago. I thought that was a great choice to put him right there.
Man, that scene, that long, first of all, oh, by the way,
Boyd
Peter Weller
too,
directed
this. Peter Weller, that's right. Peter
Weller. Folks, the original.
The original.
Go watch the original.
Absolutely. And Buckaroo Banzai.
And Buckaroo
Way
Banzai
back.
And
yeah.
quite a few others.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. The long shot going into seeing Markham drinking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Then, the Dolly Inn.
And yet again, it's this moment for Ava and the actress, and what's her
name? Joelle Carter.
Thank you. To just have a great scene.
Mm-hmm.
That's two episodes in a row now where you just sit back and go, oh my God. Now, at the end of the series.
I mean, that was a good
scene.
And
then when Boyd comes in and just how apologetic and the way he, you know, just threw himself on the court.
Yep.
But that whole scene was just one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
So cool.
And I just love the dialogue. I mean, the other thing that I thought was really interesting about this particular episode is, you know, last week we talked about, you know, is he a long-winded, peculiar sort of, you know, that, you know, which was referencing Boyd. And then even Boyd was talking to Ty, like, boy, you talk more than I do.
Yeah.
And now we got Avery, too, because Avery has your Rick annoying. And I mean, I think these writers are having a good time with this dialogue.
Yeah.
We don't always get this, but I mean, certainly we do in some of the characters. But I think they're really enjoying them. They're lavishing this. Even Earl had some interesting.
And the only way this works is if the actual actor is interested enough to hang out
with. Oh, yeah, and to listen,
Ty Walker and the actor who portrays him, they are interesting enough where you're going to hang out and listen.
Yeah.
You can listen to anything. I'm so bad with
names. Interrupting my repast.
Avery.
Sam Elliott.
Thank you. It's the cold, people.
It's okay.
Again, you can hang on to listen to whatever he says. So when I'm watching this, I'm never feeling like, oh, come on. It's just like, oh, it's like bourbon. It's just a nice warm glow and hanging out.
Now, Tamara, so if you're Ava and you're sitting at the table and this guy's being so charming with what he's saying and stuff like that, and she's giving it a little bit. She's saying, oh, well, I'll just add that to the things. And I'm just going, how intimidating. You got Ty behind you and everything. And I'm just going, that scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, it was scaring the crap out of me, too, definitely. And it was reminding me of, do you remember when I can't believe I'm having to do this right now. Chestnut Hill, Cherry Hill. Yeah. Gang. I'm sorry, everybody. I get it wrong. I'm sorry. But when she was in the house with the guys and they were having the sex party, she was like having to, she was kind of playing everybody back and forth and really manipulating them, but you knew she was terrified.
Right.
That's sort of how I was feeling with this, except I felt like she had a little bit of the underhand. You know, she was not prepared to have this guy show up at her door.
No.
She was not prepared for him to make his way into her house. She used the word kidnap, you know, when they were sitting there at her dining table.
Yeah.
So, I think that you used the word on the board as, for us to look at. She's being squeezed.
Oh, yeah.
She's definitely being squeezed. And she's getting it from all sides because we also have the scene of her with the...
Vasquez and Rachel at the beginning of the program.
Exactly. So, there, you know, she's sitting there with a little bit of desperation, I would say. You know, I'm doing everything I can. Granted, she was drunk.
Yeah.
If you excuse me, I have to throw up. But, you know, so she's got the feds, you know, on her. She's got Avery on her. She's got Boyd as this kind of wild card. She nor anyone else really knows who's on what side in that relationship. And so there's an incredible amount of pressure on her. And we talked about how she's drinking at breakfast last week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the squeeze, you're really feeling it. And I loved how they shot that dining room scene because we were seeing it from a lot of different angles. It was intimate.
Mm-hmm.
It was... there was a lot of pressure in it. And, you know, these moments where you see Avery sitting there, you see Ava sitting there, and then all of a sudden you see Ty in the background, and you're like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
So she's a tough cookie, but this is a very tough situation that she's in.
But, and I love the way they encapsulated. They crystallized the whole thing.
Yeah.
You'll either rise to this occasion or just be a token that people can threaten. And clearly he was threatening her, but... Do we think that she'll become Catherine or her version of that? Because you'd think she could. I mean, everything we've seen of her so far, the way she shot, how many people she shot, I can't remember. She, you know, hitting people's heads in frying pans, things like that. So she has...
capabilities.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I love the crux that they're putting in. Either you go Raylan's route, which is, you know, state's evidence and all that other stuff, and give Boyd in, or be his partner and take off and do whatever you need to, and, you know, there you go.
I think my answer will be a caveat. I think... She would if she saw a clear shot in either direction.
Yeah.
If she saw a clear shot to get out with Boyd and they're going to go to Brazil or whatever, I think she would.
You think she'd take it?
I think she would do whatever it takes. It just as if she saw a clear shot to end all of that and walk away by herself, she would take it. But I don't think she would until she saw a clear, absolute end.
So, now given that, now we take the last scene when they're, she and Boyd, in the bedroom, and she's saying that she's really scared, and she should just go, and all this other stuff. And he's saying, "Look, I don't know who you are anymore." And she goes, "Come here, and I'll show you."
Right.
So, given that, you know, we can say all we want that she's just playing him because you know she's getting squeezed so much she has to do her own squeezing, so to speak.
Boyd got to squeeze.
Well, he got to squeeze too, but
boys on the panel.
Yes, exactly. But or do you think she still has this vestige of, well, we were in love once, and there
maybe
is a possibility? Exactly.
Again.
How much of that do you think is there?
As much as Graham Yost and Company wants us to know.
Well, I don't know if you want to go into what I was talking about before now.
We're going to wait that later. I'm just talking about Ava right now. I think she really does love Boyd. She just hates the situation she's in. There's no clear path for her, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
There's no clean, easy way out, no matter which way she goes.
Yeah.
And, you know, here she's drinking, she's getting squeezed everywhere, and the only person that she has any kind of solace with right now would be him.
Would be Boyd,
yeah.
And remember, that comes after Markham told both of them what losers they are.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll get into that later. But yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but he called them both
that. That's not part of their reality.
Absolutely.
So,
which is exactly what happened to him prior season with the Cherry Hill Gang, the whole thing.
Exactly.
You know, you never do that to Boyd, or now you did it to Boyd and Ava.
Right.
So.
And one thing you learn about in Harlan is you got to survive.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of like we were talking about in episode one. I think if she isn't, she's going to find her way to love Boyd again.
Just to survive?
Just to survive, and wherever he ends up, okay, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Other than that, you're going to have to probably kill him in order to get out of Harlan alive.
And no one needs Harlan alive. We know so that's not going to happen. But I thought that was great because for two episodes now, this is the third one of the season. Really putting Ava right in the middle, and we weren't sure if she was ever going to, how she was going to try to get back together with Boyd, or if she would, or whatever, how that would work and everything. And I thought that was great because he was clearly saying, "Look, I don't know who you are." And
I'll tell you that pendulum that swung in last season with Ava being in prison is swinging back.
Yeah, exactly.
And she is in the middle of everything.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, congratulations, to Joelle. Good for her. Mm-hmm. She's having a good time.
Can we talk a little bit about the opening scenes
with
the two of them in the bar, lying on the bar, completely
celebrating the fact that she figured out it was the pizza portal.
Yeah.
It was the former banks. Yeah. Okay. So they're having their time.
So no time has passed between last episode and this.
Well, 6 hours.
A few hours while they were doing shots.
They were drinking all night.
I just thought that was a really interesting place to place the scene, and fun to watch. And hilarious in a really awful way that Ava drove.
How did she drive? She's that shit faced.
Like,
how did she drive?
A single country road, quarter mile drive is what I'm hoping.
But it is Harlan, so.
I like that she didn't know which door to get out of. For some reason. And again, they gave Jimmy the Olive, and they gave him that moment of like, what the hell? His look. Yeah. He just needs to do that one look of like, this. What?
You picked the worst day to be having a bag.
And that, right. Oh, this is the wrong day to show up. And then Boyd, sorry, cold still lingering, when he's in the bar later and Ty Walker shows up and he's eating a hangover remedy.
Exactly.
Just great character stuff, just fun and enjoyable to watch.
Mm-hmm. On that, when Ava is being pushed by Vasquez and Rachel and all of that, Raylan makes the choice to have them back off. Now, I don't think he would have done that to any other CI. So, again, it begs the question, what are you looking for in here, Raylan? Are you looking for something to keep you out of Florida? Are you? Mm-hmm. It's like they're kind of playing with. Is there love there? Is there something there more between Raylan and
him? And
I don't see, as opposed to with the vestiges that I see with she and Boyd. I don't think there's much there because it's an unrequited thing. I don't really think that Boyd. Raylan has,
but he is protecting her more than he would anyone else.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's more than look. I have to protect her because that's my way out to Florida because I need her until we finish this thing with Boyd.
Right.
So he even says that to Rachel. He says, "Look, if you want to mess in my work here, if you're upset with me, just fine, but don't mess with my CI.
Yeah,
because you just ruined my work.
Yeah."
Because he did not want them doing any of that. He didn't think it was necessary, and he finally stopped them from doing that. So that's what I was thinking.
Let's face it, that Raylan is the master of blurring the lines and, changing the rules.
Right.
He
has his own moral code.
He does it all the time. Yeah. So, and it's always because he's got a good reason, because he's justified. But
it's good enough for Gary Cooper. That's his reason.
Right, exactly.
It works for Gary Cooper.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's my
point is that, yes, he has a personal relationship with her. He has a personal relationship with most of the people that he encounters, and he makes special rules for every single one of them.
Yeah. So, I thought it was a little odd. I mean, I'm glad they had the scene. It was nice to see Erica and stuff like that. But Rachel in the car with him, it's like you didn't know who you were leaving in Harlan Unleashed. What you know who he is. You knew what was going to happen. What are you so surprised by that it was difficult?
I was lost on that scene, to be honest. I didn't understand the shift of her angst with Raylan being out in the field because. First of all, the only thing I think is that
now that she's in charge of him, it's a different level. So she has to be responsible for him, as opposed to when Art was. Before I was just like, whatever.
It was just one of those things where I didn't see where's that angst coming from. Mm-hmm. He's been behaving for Raylan. He's been behaving.
That's true. He hasn't shot anybody.
No one's been shot.
Yeah.
No one's gotten a
super low body count so far.
Yeah.
I think it all comes down to
they're saving the squibs for the end.
That's true.
You betcha. Squib budget will be blown.
Squib budget will be blown.
I think it all just comes down to the idea that they wanted to. put the writers and everybody wanted to put Ava in the middle, and therefore they came up because they want to put more squeeze on there to force something, because she hasn't given him it. There was a whole bank robbery that happened. They didn't get any information. So, look, we got to – if she's not going to give us anything, we need to put the screws to her until we get something. Otherwise, all this time and energy and money is wasted.
Yeah.
And so that's what Rachel's following up on, is that
– Yeah, I think that's what it is. But I think she, more than anything, knows that if you don't – you know, keep him on a short lease, meaning Raylan, you're going to have problems, because she's seen it time and time again. But that's what I'm saying. It kind of came across as, what are you so surprised by? You knew who you put in the field, and you knew how it would go down. So anyway, that was odd. But it was a good way. It was a clever way to get them together, because it was nice for her to be on that ride-along with him, so to speak, when they had caught Earl. All right, since we're talking about that, let's get into that part of the storyline. Because the whole reason that... Rachel sticks around is because she wants to see some movement on the case, and you know, since Ava's not providing information, she's going to find out what Raylan can do, what kind of doors he can kick in, or whatever information he can shake out of the tree. Go see Luther, who worked with him in the mines with Boyd. That's where they find the Emulex thing. You know, okay,
the
somebody stole it. That's right, and hence the title, Noblesse Oblige. The fact that Luther's going to stick in or stand up for his son and take the fall for him, basically, because it all comes down that his son was the one that signed off on the Emulex. So now let's just talk about the scene where they find Earl confronts Tyler and says, hey, we need more Emulex. And then, of course, Rachel
shows
up.
Raylan just shows up everywhere for poor Earl. Yeah.
But you notice he went there because after his scene with Luther, he goes, there's something wrong about that. You know, there's something right. It just didn't feel right the way he was reacting. So on some level, Luther knew what was going on. He knew who he signed. It wasn't my signature. It was my son's or whatever. So something about however Luther was behaving caused Raylan
to be suspicious.
Okay, I looked, I checked. Let's go check out the son. That's okay. So now we're in the scene, and Earl, which is just surprises me that all of a sudden he's got the chutzpah to just go right at the guy, and you know, there's he sees the badge and the whole bit, but no, he's just kind of stick his face out.
Now there was a small setup for that. There was a small setup for that when he shows weakness in the bar. And Blake kind of calls him out on that. He's like, you want to leave now? And then Carl has to step up and say, no, he's cool.
Yeah.
That, it was such a small moment, but that's what set him up to turn around to go
and
up
also,
to
I think,
a
you
guy
know,
who's bigger and stronger and just like, you know.
And he's got to save face in front of Tyler.
Exactly.
Face of the way he scares Tyler, you know, he's like, oh, shoot, I can't back down now. I don't look bad. But
and there's nothing better
much to
than idiots going up against.
No, I know, exactly.
Oh,
it is
just
fun. And I guess the difference between romance and intimidation is how hard you squeeze. Because
Tamara, this is one of your favorite lines of the show.
It is. We were going to do this as a segment, but we might as well talk about it now.
We'll talk about it now. Yeah.
So after, you know, the squeeze on...
because I showed this episode was a squeeze. Ava got squeezed, and of course Earl got squeezed.
Earl got squeezed.
There's a lot of squeeze.
And then afterward, Raylan says to Earl, I ain't going to grab it. I'm going to shoot it. You understand me, Earl? I'm going to shoot your dick off.
That's really clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, really,
it's
really
hard
clear.
To mistake that.
Spoken much
and
more.
Not a phrase you often hear.
Oh.
No, but I like the fact that Raylan had to make sure he did understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Here's what I really liked about that scene.
I'm not following you.
That's what I was going to say.
Raylan's here and Rachel's up there, and they're both just frozen with their masks. They're keeping their masks.
They keep their masks on.
It's just such a great shot.
Yeah.
Just frozen. It kind of reminded me of throwing the keys to Choo Choo.
Yeah.
It's just one of those great shots that I was just chuckling watching.
Yeah, Rachel.
And interestingly, kind of set up on a hill.
Oh, yeah.
So you're getting all kinds of.
They're ambushed between
there
the
were ladders involved in that I think were probably difficult
ladders.
To deal with.
Oh, well,
no,
sure.
I mean, from
sight
the
lines
crew.
And stuff. Yeah,
I mean,
sure. Yeah, you think they're not? Do they think we're not going to know who they are?
Yeah.
And again, I'm surprised by Earl. It's like, wow, Earl stepping up and trying to get out of this. Not surrendering or anything. I was just surprised by it. Like,
he basically says, "Look, this is a Fed thing anyway. So we're going away if you're going after
that's
this.
Right.
So
we got nothing to lose.
It's now on you. We got nothing to lose.
Yeah,
his dick.
Well, there's that.
That to lose.
Well, apparently, it's not that big a deal for him.
Sorry.
No, of course, Luther decides.
I'm a lady. Raylan. I don't normally say things like that, but I'm just quoting a script.
Raylan's,
that's right.
Raylan's a really good shot.
Yeah.
Especially from that close.
Yeah. You have to be. So Luther decides that he's going to take the fall, and he's going to say he's the one to take the Amulex and stuff like that. And of course, no one believes that for a second, but that ruins
their plan.
Can only squeeze Tyler so much if, you know, your father's taking the fall for it.
Yep.
So, and if you're going to let Earl go. So I thought that was an interesting choice for Raylan to make. He makes makes that great impassioned plea. Mm-hmm. Passionate, maybe that's the right word. But when he's talking to Luther and he's saying, look, you're going to take the fall. Yeah. You know, and you're going to do it for nothing.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news.
Yeah, exactly.
But right. Tyler's a lost cause.
Here's how it's going to go.
And again, the motivation for Luther to do it is he couldn't send his kid to a JC.
Yeah.
So this will be just as good.
Yeah, I'll take him
off of FedRAP.
But again, hitting that theme of, you know, it's about fatherhood and stuff like that. And he says, and this is one of my, this is my favorite line, which is, you'll do anything in the world. Or was it? Am I getting this right?
Right, so Luther's relating to Raymond about having a child.
Yeah, and Luther's saying, look, the reason why I'm doing this is you got a girl, right? You know, it's all, right now she's just something that eats and poops and all that other stuff. And there ain't one thing in this world you wouldn't do for that gob.
That gob.
Which is true.
And it only gets
worse. It never ends.
It never ends.
And then, you know, of course, we got that recurring theme, of course. And that's what this whole particular series and especially the season will be about for him.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that, and I think that was the foreshadowing for, like, what are they going to do to him? How are they going to squeeze Raylan such that he's going to do anything for that daughter?
Right. Right.
Because, that's the way they're positioning this.
You know, another parallel. I hope this isn't I don't think it's too weak of a parallel, but there is a certain parallel of the father figure, like, advice arc,
right.
I think, between Avery and Ava.
Absolutely.
At the table.
Yeah.
You know, because he's kind of laying it out to her.
Oh,
here's what you're in for.
Here's the road you're going.
Right.
Yeah, here's what's down this road.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's so, very fatherly in a way.
Yeah.
In a weird way, but it was, but
super
it was, you know, it's
way.
Something that
you can't not take his advice. It's Sam Elliott.
Exactly.
It's like, it's almost written in stone.
Yeah.
And it could be.
Very gravelly, deep stone.
Yes, very gravelly and deep.
So, all right, so, but wasn't it a surprise to you that Raylan decides to let Earl go?
Yes.
I was surprised by that. And he even, when Rachel's talking to him, he's like, I hope it's the right thing, too. He's not even really seem to be sure.
Yeah, they didn't seem to have a strong plan at that point.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's like, well, throw him back in and see if he shakes anything
exactly.
up. Because that's kind of all they have to go on.
Because
right
I thought
now.
For sure, well, just, you know, squeeze him. You've got him in the ambulance, the whole thing. It's just, you know, great.
I'm just curious how much of a shake-up Earl can do to Boyd when Boyd's already kind of written him off earlier when he says, you know, you want to step out.
The only thing I can think of is Boyd already knows, obviously, Raylan got him with the goods at the bank. I mean, sorry, not at Calhoun's. And then now he's going to realize that, oh, Raylan got you there trying to get Emulex. So that's just, you know, that's the only thing that Boyd would be upset about. Mm-hmm. Not if it's Earl, but that Raylan's on that too. Damn it.
Right. He's finding all my cards.
Exactly. So I think it's just like, shoot, man, I got to be careful about that. Now it's not just Avery I have to worry about. Raylan's sniffing around this too.
Right.
So I think that would be the thing that's going to shake the tree. Because, you know, anytime you put that much pressure on you, there people are like to make mistakes, go too fast, whatever it is. I'm guessing.
I'm still stuck with the briefcase from last season.
Yeah, we still don't need it. Yeah.
I think that storyline's kind of done now.
Well, I don't know, because we didn't see what happened to the Peacock couple who called Ty Walker a peacock.
Right.
So I'm assuming we'll learn later their fate.
What color they chose
for
their living room.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And by the way, the peacock came in today, too.
Oh, yeah.
Avery used it when he was talking to Boyd. He called him, you're peacocking for your father.
Right.
It's like, whoa. It's like,
We met when you were no bigger than a minute.
Yeah.
Five or ten years old, you were
a
little bit of a peacock.
Yeah.
Or nine or ten.
Exactly.
Well, I guess I laid it in so that, you know, calling a guy a peacock is not the smartest thing to do.
And I thought, I was kind of, whoa, wait a minute. Did they, you know, obviously they meant to do that, but I'm going, did they know the reference? I'm sure they did, but I was like, why weren't they? I wanted to see Ty there. I was like, whoa, did he call them what?
Did NBC buy FX?
No.
That's what I was just going to say. Maybe there's some NBC tie in there.
Possibly. Maybe they're positioning for another show.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But that was the thing that caused Boyd
to steal himself. Partly.
No, well, that was part of it, but then the fact that he called them. You're still small, barely grown, maybe grown, but you're still pretending.
Which was
that. And I was like, why? I mean,
that's why
I went, well, you're that close to a clean getaway and you have the guy doing it. You know, it's like, why would you do that?
Because he can.
Yeah,
I know, but that's the thing.
Freaking Avery Mark.
I know, but I'm just going, wait. For me, that was a misstep, and maybe that's fine and that's the character. But from the first sequence, from all I've seen of him, I went, he wouldn't make that mistake.
He's a more calculated
guy. Yeah, why would he do that? Because you got what you wanted. Why would you? Because all you did was create animosity.
There was none before.
Yeah,
that.
Where you had him, like, you know, supplicating and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Now you could have just walked away and said, boom. But no, you did that. I'm going,
yeah, that is
you already impressed upon him everything, had the power ding down and stuff like that. And I just went, you just opened up a whole can of worms that you didn't need to do that.
Unless he really wants Boyd to come after him.
Maybe he does.
Know.
I don't know. Maybe that's what he's doing because he knows Catherine is in on this and he's playing that whole thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe
right.
he did that on purpose. I don't know.
Right.
But it did seem like a studied answer. You give him that, you know,
yeah.
he's looking at Avery. He knows what he's going to say and he knows it's going to hurt twice as bad to do it in front of Avery.
And that's why I thought it didn't, I said, I didn't get from Avery that he was likely to make that kind of mistake. To me, it felt like, no, I'm going to do this because I've got something else. I thought he knew about Catherine and Boyd and their connection, and I thought he did that specifically because he wanted this to go on for other reasons that we don't know yet.
Hmm.
That's what it felt like to me because I just didn't buy this. Like, well, that seems odd that he would do that. He already got everything he wanted. He seemed smart enough to be the guy that would just say, okay, good, we're done. I'm
he already laid in the thread. Yeah. He already said, I'll kill you. So that conversation should be done.
That's what I thought.
Can we talk about Boyd getting kidnapped himself?
Oh, yeah.
God, I love that scene, too.
So scary, first of all.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Two masked guys.
It was scary until I realized Choo-Choo was there.
Choo-Choo was the head of the brains
he
of the operation.
The scissors. No, Seabass was there. So, but it just kind of cracked me up that he's there.
The Chinatown scene is what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. That didn't crack me up. But I mean, I was like, I thought for sure they cut his fingers. And it was thankfully.
I was like, ah!
That's just how they shot it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like kind of grabbing his hand.
Yeah, it's like, damn. So.
Here's the weird part about that scene.
Yeah.
Everything that Boyd is, everything that you know that he is, all the bad, you're still like going, oh, don't hurt him.
Yeah, you're still rooting for him.
You're still rooting for him. So, again, kudos to the writers for not.
Yeah. But here's what I was also thinking, because, you know, when he's on his knees and you see him and he's got sweat on his brow and the whole thing, and he looks genuinely like, geez, you know, thankful that nothing happened. I was also thinking, I think Boyd is smart enough. Look, just act scared, even, you know, more scared. You know, whereas other like Earl is different. Mm-hmm. He would say, no, you know, he would be the stupid one that don't act scared and try to be more have more bravado than you need to. But the smart play is, no, okay, let them, yeah, they want to scare me here, act scared.
Let them think they
don't let them know what's really going on.
Right.
And that's what I felt like in that moment. I was like, he may really be scared, but I think he's just letting it show rather than try to be a fake bravado or any of that other nonsense.
Although I think if you're tied up with a hood on your finger,
that's what I'm saying. I'm sure he's absolutely scared, but rather than Earl, you know, who would you know, he would fake all that nonsense. Yeah, what's that?
I'm just doing the Chinatown thing. That's what I was worried about. The nose.
You were worried about the knife in the nose.
Yeah. Well, and speaking to that, how do you think Boyd was, you know, where was he in that sense when they said, you know, don't send your little chippy, you know, Ava, in to spy on us anymore?
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, we bought her Pretty Girl in Town act, but. Yeah. You know, what if we make her not so pretty, essentially?
Yeah. No, I think he took all of it very seriously, and I think he was genuinely scared. I just like that he's smart enough to let them know that they've scared him so that they don't have to. Because if you start acting with that stupid fake bravado, then, they're going to step
it
up.
Which builds them up. Exactly.
So let them think whatever they need to think. Then they'll go away, and then you can do whatever you want, which is what he did with Avery.
You know.
And I when he was apologizing to Avery, like, I had no idea it was yours, and, I, you know, my attempt to pilfer and all this other stuff he's saying.
Yeah.
I think, that's a legitimate, and I'm using air quotes, legitimate apology, meaning, he sure is apologizing, but I don't think he has any intention then of not doing anything. He just wants to let Avery know your threats worked, your warnings, I'm heeding, I won't be doing it anymore, just so he can placate him and get him out of there, and then they'll make some other, and then he was always going to come up with another way to figure out how to get that money. But the fact that he said that, Avery said, called him little and a pretend, you know, pretend, this is exactly what happened in other seasons when somebody I should say underestimated him. It's like, oh, really?
Okay, so we're talking about what's the end game.
Right.
It could be that Avery knows he's getting played. He knows that boy's still going to go. So what he needs to do is, okay, I'm going to get you off your game by doing this. I'm going to throw this insult that's going to get so under your skin, you're going to screw up.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, you're going to have... Yeah. Right, I'm going to... Yeah.
Right, because there's no way Avery's going to take that and go, okay,
I believe you now. Even that scene when he was apologizing and everything, that... You could tell he's like he's not. He was dubious.
I will tell you, he knows how to apologize. Yeah,
absolutely. He's a good apology.
Take a lesson from that
damn
boy.
Good apology.
And I've had a lot of practice.
All right. Let's talk about the idea, the thing that you've been noticing about between Raymond and Boyd.
Yeah, it's been this thing that's been kind of interesting that I picked up, and you know, chime in when you want. But I've been seeing them kind of doing stuff to keep both the characters on a trajectory. In other words, they looks like they're trying to keep Boyd locked into Harlan, locked into the past.
Yeah.
They're keeping him in really recognizable, you know, places, the bar.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been the same place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kind of stuck, in a sense, that he can't get out.
In fact, the very beginning of this episode, they're reminiscing about the mm-hmm. past
right.
and how much fun it was.
Right, high school and all that with Ava.
Mm-hmm. Right, uh-huh. and then with Markham, when he puts Boyd in his place, it really is that, you know, you're never getting out, you're always going to be a chump, you're going to die here. They're really just pushing in that direction with mm-hmm. him. And then with Raylan, there's always talk about, you know, it changes when you're a dad. Mm-hmm. You know, wait till you, you know, wait till she gets older.
Moving on to Florida.
There's that. There's when he meets with Ava, last episode, it was in a car junkyard.
You're talking about when Raylan meets with Ava.
I'm sorry, when Raylan meets with Ava, there's all those cars and everything. This time, they're showing the tombstones of the family. So there's always this rot and death around them when Ava and Raylan meet. And then, again, when Luther talks about the past, mm-hmm. you know, and, oh, this kid, and then Raylan's go, yeah, it was all fake. Yeah, I'd throw the stuff in. So they're always laying in these sort of, so I don't know, maybe it's just a couple of things, maybe I'm making too much of it, but now I'm kind of looking for those moments of like, mm-hmm. okay, or, you know, is there another Easter egg here somewhere? And I just thought it was kind of interesting.
I think that's a running theme. And if you think about Boyd, you know, he does represent Harlan. Mm-hmm. Raylan, to some degree, represents where Harlan
is going.
He wants out at Harlan.
You
know, he started in Miami, the whole thing, meaning in the series.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Obviously, he lived, grew up in Harlan and everything like that. And he's always wanted to go. He's mm-hmm. never wanted to come back. So I think those are opposing things, and those trajectories will meet at some point. They'll have to.
And right in the middle of it is you have this season's bad guy who wants to take all of it and change it up anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really being pulled in three different directions.
And we got no closer to what the whole thing's about.
No.
Well, here's one thing that we did learn.
Okay.
There's a badass safe in that pizza place.
Yes, exactly.
That just dented with a tank thing.
The other thing that we have to talk about that we haven't talked about so far.
Oh my God, yes.
Wynn Duffy.
Oh, yeah.
Wynn Duffy.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Okay, yeah.
First of all, the scene opened up. I went, what the hell? It was such a great shot because I thought I was, what am I, Doctor Who? Where the hell am I?
In some kind of space movie?
I guess a Minority Report. I was a precog. I was like, what is going on? You know, I had no idea where I was.
Didn't you want to be in wardrobe when you walked in and go, yeah, this is what you're wearing?
Exactly. Or he probably had it on.
He probably brought it.
Exactly. So, and what was it about? Well, he said it was going to ruin his facial folds.
Yeah, just as I talk, my facial.
Oh my God, it was great.
So, and again, one of the best lines, I'm rehydrating. He's like, you know, you can read the phone book and it's funny.
Oh, my God.
So I read, you know, the Graham Newsom interview talking about that. So what they wanted to do was they wanted to have Jerry Burns, a.k.a. Wynn Duffy, in an odd place.
In an odd place.
For this scene.
Okay.
And so somehow or another, they talked about putting him in a tanning bed, in a tanning salon.
Okay.
And they decided that setup was going to be too expensive. And the writer discovered that you can have mobile tanning beds.
Absolutely.
So they bring it in. So, and the idea was that it happens that Jerry Burns is quite a...
an avid surfer.
Surfer, thank you.
Oh.
Exactly. And he was in Fiji or someplace like that, surfing. And so they kind of connected it with, you know, he is this guy who has a tan all the time in Harlan, Kentucky.
Yes, exactly.
So let's just kind of speak to that with this scene. So we kind of... It is
very character-driven. It's like, if anybody in Harlan was going to have
a tanning bed
wheeled in, it would be Wynn.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, that scene had my favorite line. Which is, when you search Crowder, make sure you get his cigarettes.
That's right.
That was great.
Hilarious.
What I also thought was terrific is, It was hours later, or maybe an hour later, that Boyd shows up and wins.
Still in his robe.
Still hydrating.
And, you know, so God bless Jerry Burns for going with the metallic G-string.
Yeah, the gold lame thing, whatever
fantastic,
the hell that was.
Fantastic. Super great.
The mankini.
You know, Timothy Oliphant was a swimmer, though.
Yeah, so.
From Modesto. Yeah. I would like to see him. We haven't seen him shirtless in forever. When was
you're
the last time we saw Raylan shirtless?
Wait a minute. We got Ava, you got Wynn. That's a fair trade.
No, that is not.
What? That's fair trade.
There was some nakedity on Ava's part.
Yeah.
You need... would you settle for Mundo?
No.
Yeah, Choo Choo.
No.
Choo
Choo.
You'll learn why he's called Choo Choo.
I want to see Raylan in that little lame.
All right. Listen, unless we have last thoughts, I want to do shout outs real quick.
Oh, yeah. I don't have really news and gossip, but.
No, let's just do shout outs.
Yeah, shout outs to Jay Sweat. Asked about the song in the end of last episode, and I Shazammed it. I rolled it back, and I don't remember what it was, but I put the link on YouTube for last week's. Kislena. Jojo Sterlitz, okay, who is our French fan who gives us a lot of advice.
He's got
one
great
of the
stuff.
Things he said was, he says, I wouldn't say I'm crazy about Justified. It may have been me who called him crazy about Justified, but he said he's an enthusiast. And I don't mean crazy
it
in a bad way.
It wasn't derogatory.
I do mean actually enthusiastically. He says, Steve, he's not from the Netherlands. I'm from France, he says.
Yeah,
and
get
again,
it right.
I think that's my fault. So I'm falling on my sword on that. Okay,
are they two different places?
Here's what we've got. He says, Constable Bob might be appearing in episode 5, which is called Sounding. According to the plot summary, when Ava makes a drastic decision, Raylan turns to an old friend for help. A suspicious Duffy looks into Ava's release from prison.
Ooh.
So, as he said, considering the fact that Raylan doesn't have a lot of friends,
right.
Constable Bob and his
go-bag. Yeah, I mean, let's face it, Luther is an old kind of friend and stuff.
You know,
that's
right. Yeah. The barbecue guy wasn't really a friend.
Nine miles.
Right. Well, and since we know Constable Bob is coming back,
right.
You know,
yeah,
perhaps
sure,
we'll see that.
Absolutely.
Also, Big Jim's. A bunch of letters, who wrote a really long kind of predictions thing, which was great to read. Give Me Shelter, yes, and Ben Hamill, who's a wonderful.
Thanks, Ben.
Did I get corrected?
As always, of course, as you should. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
So anyway, yes, wonderful shout outs. Thank you for supporting us, everybody. And for, you know, giving us your thoughts.
Yes.
And also,
I love the thoughts.
You know, links, questions, and information. I hope you guys enjoy what we do here. We love doing it. But I got to tell you, I love viewers and their thoughts. I sit and just giggle and read, and I just love it. I love that you guys are as enthusiastic about it as we are, more so in certain situations,
the
and it's fantastic. If
we could, we would have you on, because we'd love to have
speaking of who we're having on, Sue, can we talk?
I think it's
inked, right? VJ Boyd?
It is. VJ Boyd, who wrote episode 8, is coming.
For episode 8.
For episode 8 to discuss it with us. So that's exciting.
Episode 8 airs?
Yes.
Well, that's going to be a short interview, isn't
it? No, it's after.
He's going to be here for the night.
Okay. Yes. Oh, good. Oh, okay. I thought it was going to be like.
No,
okay.
For episode 8, he'll be here on the panel.
I was
reading.
Steven.
And I read slow.
Okay, so we're looking forward to that. VJ Boyd.
And we're working on some other guests, too.
We'll have some
All
right, last thoughts before we get out of here. Anybody,
I'm going to steal one of these.
All right, great. All right, well, Tamara, let them know where they can find you.
Yeah.
You got to get out of here.
At Bottomly Steven. Steve. Yes. I just want to make sure you get that so that you can tweet him, too, people. I am at Tamara Berg on Twitter. My website is TamaraCentral.com. Most of you won't like it.
You don't have to. I get all the tweets anyway. But I am at Bottomly Steven because I died.
And I'm here at AfterBuzzTV.com.
Yeah.
Thanks very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.